I stand till the day you will.
If you leave me, where will I go? Worship him.
Say, I am your.
Worship him.
I am your own.
Worship him.
Till the day you will come again. Jesus, I am.
If you leave me now, where will I go?
If you leave me now, where would I go?
Oh, yes.
If you leave me now, where would I stand up? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You are my anchor for life.
You
are the great God.
You are the glorious.
Alagbara ti bagbara lo wa alagbara. Alagbara giga 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 giga.
You are the mighty God.
Ope ni ni me shadoro. You are. You are. You are. You are.
You are. Somebody, can you just open your mouth and begin to appreciate this great God for his mercies to you, for his mercies to me, for his compassion towards us, for keeping us alive to this moment, for giving us the grace to see another day. Worship him. Appreciate him.
You're the God of all some wonders.
Can we give him glory? Just worship him for his goodness to you, for his goodness to your family, for keeping you thus far. Worship him, worship him, worship him. Appreciate him.
You have shown me so much.
Appreciate him.
Much more than I deserve.
Many are dying, many are perishing. Whatever we are is by his grace. For the battles he's fighting for you and I. For his protection, for his provision. Worship him, somebody. Worship him.
I've tasted of your power.
I appreciate him.
Oh, Nisha. Oh, Nisha.
Oh, yes.
You have shown me so much better. Much more.
Worship him.
Much more than I deserve.
We're going to sing this song together in worship. You are the reason I live. You're the one for me.
You're the one for me.
You're the one for me. Can we worship him together with that song this morning?
You are
the reason I live. Oh. Why should I fear
when I have you surrounded
by your love,
your everlasting
love.
And
they don't know what you mean to us. They don't know that you came and offered yourself that we might be redeemed unto you. They don't know that you suffered and bled and died that we may be free. They don't know how great your love is to us. But Father, we know. And that is why we are here this morning. Accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Father, we have come once again to celebrate your resurrection, to celebrate your love. As we've gathered, let your spirit gather with us, lead us, inspire us in the name of Jesus. Grant unto us understanding of your word today. Accept our praises, our worship, our offerings. Bless us because we've come to your presence. Heal the sick among us, deliver the oppressed, set the captive free. At the end of this service, Father, let us be glad we came. Once again, we say, inspire our worship today, O Lord. Take absolute control for all we do, of all we'll do here today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Put your hands together and be seated, please. If the rapture will take place on a Sunday, you that you are here, you are the ones that will go in the rapture. Because I trust the average Nigerian, if you are to have a job employment to resume at a new working place or at your working place on Monday morning, you will not be there late. Even if it means waking up by 4 a.m. so that you can be on Lagos Island by 8 a.m., you will do it. Then when it comes to worshiping God, service is 9 a.m. on Sunday. Many people relax. It's not supposed to be. We are under grace, but grace is not the license for wrongdoing. God has a standard. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of standards. Please, proper punctuality to your place of worship is part of the standards of God's kingdom. Don't ever take God's things for granted. If you do, it will take yours for granted. I want you to know that as you are entering in this morning, there's an angel at that door recording your name. So please don't ever take the things of God for granted. If you'll be coming late to church, let it be a reasonable reason before God and before man. And the Lord will bless us. Please, in fact, put your hands together for yourselves. You that are here this morning, is a sign that you mean business with God. And the Lord that you came to seek will not let you go the same you came in Jesus' name. God bless you. Briefly this morning, we'll be looking at an interesting topic, something that we all ought to know. Whenever you come to this church, we want you to know that you have come to not just any Christian church, not just any church of Christ. You have come to an end-time message believing church. There are churches and there are churches. If you start name of church, A, Assemblies of God, B, Baptist, C, Catholic, D, Deeper Life, E, Evangelica, F, it will continue. There are many churches in Nigeria, especially in Lagos State. But there are also some churches that are different from other churches. This is an end-time message believing church. In this church, we have a message. Nobody is responding with an amen. In this church, we have a message. It is called the end-time message. When you come to the Bride Assembly Church, pay close attention to what is taught. That is why God brought you here. God didn't bring you here for you to receive your breakthrough and healing and go. He brought you here so that you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So today we'll be looking at the Valley of Dry Bones. The Valley of Dry Bones. How many of us know that song? That song rather. Dry bones shall rise again. 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 Lord Jehovah is able to do all things. Is able, dry bones shall rise again. But like many other stories written in the Bible, the story of the dry bones is grossly misunderstood. Especially in the Pentecostal fold. Many people have termed that story to mean it's speaking of what is impossible before God. What can God not do? The God that brought the dry bones back to life, what can he not do? But that is not the lesson, or that is not what that story is teaching. Praise the living God. The story of the dry bones is seen in Ezekiel chapter 37. So that is where our text is drawn from this morning. The story of the vision of the dry bones. Number one, note that it is a vision. Ezekiel 37 verse 1. Note that what? It is what? A vision. It was not literal. Ezekiel did not go to that valley and then dry bones raised and then breath came into them physically. No, it was a vision. See it here. The hand of the Lord was upon me and did what? Carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. He was seeing a vision. Are we together? And set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. He was in the spirit. The power came upon him and he entered the spirit. God took him somewhere in the spirit and was showing him something. Because it is not just a story. It is what? A prophecy. Are we together? So please, it did not happen physically. Not that God cannot do it. God can do it. That is a secondary lesson in that story. God can do it. He can do all things. But to be realistic, that story, that vision, it was a vision rather. It was what Ezekiel saw in the spirit. It was not a physical occurrence. Are we together? So if it is a vision, it simply means that there's something there that God is telling his people. So we're going to take a short reading, Ezekiel 37 from verse 1 to 10, to at least familiarize ourselves with that story. Ezekiel 37 from verse 1 to 10. Let's start from verse 1 again. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Please pay close attention to every word that is used. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Verse 10, finally. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived. And stood up upon their feet, what? An exceeding great army. So note that this was firstly in the spirit. It was a vision he was seeing. The story of the dry bones is a prophecy concerning Israel. It is a prophecy what? Concerning who? Israel. Now let's continue from verse 11 to 14. Where you will see the understanding of that vision. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Ijesha. Eh? Is that what he reads? Some people are not even reading. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. And we are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Verse 13, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. Verse 14, I shall put my spirit in you and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and have performed it. Israel occupies a special place in God's program. The Lord God Almighty himself said, Israel is my firstborn. Are you together? In the book of Romans chapter 9 from verse 1, you see Apostle Paul causing us to understand how special Israel was. The law came by them. Verse 2, let's go to verse 2, so that you understand where Israel. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Next verse. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Who are Israelites? Now, can you see something? This is my emphasis. To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? And what else? Whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? Israel, can you see the special place they are in God's program? The Messiah was from Israel. This scripture, what we call the Bible, no Gentile man. There's no book named after a Gentile man. The word of God came to mankind through Israel. All of God's program has revolved around about them, so they are special. And when God was going to bring in us, the Gentiles, he had to blind them so that we could come in. Are we together? What we are talking about is, we are talking about the mystery of salvation, so that you understand who we are and understand what Christianity is. Christianity is more than going to church. You must be anchored. Praise the living God. God had to blind Israel to bring in the Gentiles. The gospel came to them first. Time will fail us to read many scriptures. In Matthew 10, when Jesus sent forth his apostles, he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and enter not into any city of the Samaritans, but go to who? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he preached to them. They rejected the gospel. And at the end, the gospel came to us. But their rejection of the gospel is part of God's agenda. Are we together? Their rejection of this gospel of salvation that we believe, is part of God's agenda, so that it could bring in you and I. Now, Igbo man, Yoruba man, Hausa man, we are now part of the family of God. Before, it was only the nation of Israel. But you need to know where I'm going to. They will not be blinded forever. God will open the eyes of the Israelites very soon. And before he does, the Gentiles must go in the rapture. So Israel, at this point of time, is awaiting the Messiah, awaiting a revival. This same gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are believing, they will receive it, but it will be immediately after we have gone in the rapture. Now, the story of the dry bones, where we are looking at today, it's a prophetic history of Israel. It's a prophetic history of Israel. God by himself went to the land of Egypt, brought them out of the land of Egypt, took them to the land of promise, established them, gave them a constitution that we call the law of Moses, established a nation, and they became the nation of God. They were to live by the law of God. But along the line, something happened. Israel sinned against God and they fell away. Now let's do some Bible readings so that we understand. If I should continue, say amen. The brothers, amen, is louder than the sisters, amen. Sisters, if I should continue, say amen. Please, if you don't understand at any point of time, just notify so that we'll continue. So when God brought them out, God established them. But soon, this nation of God, the children of Abraham, they sinned against God and God himself cast them forth. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 17. Verse 5. God himself cast them forth. They went into captivity. See, then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. And in the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them there. Are we together? When their sins, the cup of their iniquity was full, God sent forth Gentile kings, Gentile nations to deal with Israel. So when Ezekiel was in the spirit and he saw those bones, he said they were dry and they were very many. Those bones represent the present condition of Israel at that time. They were dry, they were dead, they were dry, they were in graves in the Gentile world. After Solomon died, the son of Solomon took over the throne. And God divided the kingdom of Israel into kingdoms, northern kingdom and southern kingdom. The first to go into captivity was this northern kingdom. The southern kingdom continued because they were still living righteous. But when you come to 2 Kings chapter 25, under King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians came and took away the southern kingdom. Then at that point, all the family, all the nation of Israel were in captivity in the Gentile world. Praise the living God. But 70 years, follow me please, 70 years after the Babylonian captivity, they were restored to the homeland. You will hear of Nehemiah, Ezra, Malachi, Haggai. Those were prophets of the restoration. And they were there in the days of the Lord Jesus. But when they rejected the gospel, when they were crucifying Jesus, they made a statement, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." Is that right? What happened? After the Lord Jesus Christ ascended in AD 70, the Romans came and destroyed Jerusalem. And since that time, Israel, God's own nation, did not have a country of their own. They were scattered around the world in different Gentile nations. That is why in Africa, some people will hijack it and say that a black man, a very black man, is a Jew. There's a reason why they are hijacking it. Let me not go that way. There's a reason why they are hijacking it. Because since AD 70, the Jews were scattered around the world. You go to India, you see Jews. You go to North America, you see Jews. You go to Europe, you see Jews. Everywhere in the world, it had a beginning, and yet they were the people of God. That is the meaning of the bones being dry and lifeless. The bones were scattered. Can we have our picture again? The theme cover of this message, the valley of dry bones. Let's have that picture again. I want you to observe something in that picture. Can you see how the bones are? This is representing how the nation of Israel were scattered around different countries. Ethiopia, you will see Jews. Egypt, you see Jews. Everywhere around the world, still hang it. The bones were scattered. They were lifeless and they were dry. Hallelujah. But God will not leave Israel like that forever. Oh, somebody is not shouting amen. God will not leave Israel like that forever. Because Romans 11:33, you can remove the picture, makes us to understand that the gifts and the calling of God is what? It's without repentance. God cannot give you a gift and take it back. God has called Israel for salvation for a special purpose. He will punish them for their sins, but they will always be his children. Somebody say amen. And that is how the bride of Jesus Christ stand. Are you saying, Brother Lum, that I can live in sin? If you are born again, you will not find pleasure in sin. But if you sin, God will deal with you. You can't lose your salvation if you are truly saved. So where we are looking at in Ezekiel 37 is the prophecy of their restoration. Are you understanding me? Yes, thank you for correcting that scripture. Not Romans 11:33. Romans 11:29, the gift and calling of God without repentance. The prophecy in Ezekiel 37, church, listen closely, because you will understand where you and I come in. Don't just go to church and sing, ba 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 ba. You give offering, you pray, and you go. No. We are in the midst of a serious program of God, and our duty and passion in this ministry is to establish the people. Ezekiel 37 is a prophecy of Israel's restoration. They are dried and scattered in that valley. But God asked the prophet Ezekiel. He said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Ezekiel did not say yes. He did not say no. Revelator prophet. He threw the answer back to God. "Thou knowest, O Lord. And God told him something. He said, prophesy to these bones. Prophesy and say. And he prophesied and said, thus saith the Lord. And the bones came together. And they stood up. And he said, yet there was no breath in them. Now let's begin to break it down one after the other. Ezekiel 37 is a prophecy concerning Israel's restoration. Are we together? Now let's see the order of the restoration. The prophecy for the restoration is not Ezekiel 27, Ezekiel 37. Please correct that. Let's see the order. The first thing is what? He said, prophesy to these bones. That means for Israel to be restored, the word of God for their restoration must go forth first. Must go forth first. Are you understanding me? He said, prophesy. Ezekiel 37 verse what? Verse 7. Let's read it. Ezekiel 37 verse 7. Take it back to verse 6. He said, prophesy. And he did. And what happened? They came back bones to bones. So for God to restore Israel, if Israel will be restored, there must be a prophecy that will first go ahead, talking about their restoration. And brethren, there is a prophecy concerning Israel's restoration. See Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Hosea 6, verse 1 to 3. He said, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. He's going forth, he's prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Back to order of the restoration. Let's have that slide on the screen. The first thing is that prophecy. The Bible says that God will not do anything, but he will reveal what? His secret to the servant, the prophet. If God prophesied that Israel will be destroyed, God also has prophesied that they will be restored. And the prophecies are scattered in the Bible. That is why the first thing that happened before the bones will come back, he said what? Prophesy to these bones. And Ezekiel did. What is the next thing we see? Order of the restoration. Please let's that have that slide so that people can understand what we are saying. Order of their restoration, please. The next thing is what? A noise. Number one is what? The prophecy for their restoration. And we've seen it. Ezekiel 37 verse 4 to 6. The same Ezekiel 37 verse 7. See what it says. Ezekiel 37 verse 7. Can we read it fast? Ezekiel 37 verse 7. Ezekiel 37 verse 7, please. So I prophesied as I was commanded. After the prophecy, what happened? And as I prophesied, what was the next thing we see? There was what? A music? A silence? Some people are sleeping in the church by this time. As I prophesied, there was what? A noise. That is symbolic. It's a prophetic statement. What does it mean? From AD 70, when they were scattered and scattered around the world in different nations, they didn't have any country of their own called Israel. That was when the Muslims and the Arabs came and occupied Jerusalem, occupied the land known as Palestine today. Palestine doesn't belong to Arabs, it belongs to the Israelites. But when God dispersed them and scattered them, the land became a no man's land. What happened? I was moving up and I saw a free land and I occupied it. That is the origin of what you are seeing there, the war that's still fighting up to now. So Israel was without a nation. They were dried and dead. But something happened. There is something called the Zionist movement. Remove the scripture. Are you following, please? There's something called the Zionist movement that began from 1896. Of a sudden, a burden came upon a group of people and they start saying, no, we have our homeland. See us scattered around the world, yet we are still maintaining our culture and our tradition. We are speaking the language of the countries where we are, but we still know we are special. We still speak our language. We still worship our God, Yahweh. We still maintain our Jewish customs and tradition. We know our origin. We know our history. We even know it's because our fathers sinned. That was why God scattered us from the land. Then what happened? A burden came upon a group of people. They said, no, we must go home. We must go home. We must go home. If you know the story of the Nigerian Civil War, let me use that as an example. You saw the way Ojukwu was desiring the nation of Biafra. That is exactly how it was. A burden came upon a group of people and they started what they called the Zionist movement. This is what these people were doing. By this time, all of the land of Israel, the Palestinians have occupied it. And a land that the Bible called a land that flows with milk and honey became a useless land because the people there don't know what to make of that land. It became a desert. Nothing good was coming out of that land. So these Jews that began this Zionist movement, they will go buy the land. They were buying lands. They were buying lands. Don't forget that the children of Abraham are blessed. Wherever they are always blessed. They make money, the Jews. So they bought lands and they will go and be telling their brethren around the world, come home, come home. We will give you land. We will give you this. We will give you that. Many of them were already successful people in Europe. So I will leave this business that we've been running for generations. I'm already a millionaire in this country. You're telling me to go to Palestine. Palestine, to go to which land where there's nothing? But a few of them were doing it because it is God's agenda. They kept doing this Zionist movement. A few of them came back home. See that picture? The picture of that man between the two flags is the man that spearheaded the Zionist movement. I'm telling you history. Theodore Herzl is his name. They started buying lands and a few Jews went back to Israel, the land of Israel, went back to Palestine. And before you know it, they started having occupying territories and started having people. But at this point, they were not yet a nation. That was what Ezekiel said, I heard a noise. That was the noise that Ezekiel heard. People are making noise. Come back home. Come back home. That was the prophetic language. I heard a noise. That is the noise. Calling them to come back home. But many of them were well established. They didn't want to come back home for anything. Praise the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 16 verse 16. The Bible said what? I will send what unto them? Jeremiah 16 verse 16. I will send hunters and what? Fishers. Jeremiah chapter 16 verse 16. Behold, I will send for many what? What was the first thing he said he will send? Fishers, the Zionist movement, enticing them with lands and properties, and they shall fish them. After the fishers, what will he do? Hunters, we will get to hunters. But that noise in Ezekiel 37 verse 7 is the same thing that Jeremiah saw as the fishers begging the Jews to come home, come home, come to the land of Israel. A great majority of them remained in Europe. They can be putting their money and go and buy, but we will stay here. Go and buy lands from the Arabs, but we will stay here. Nothing happened. Ezekiel 37 verse 7. What was the next thing? Order of the restoration. After the noise, something happened. What was the next order? There was a noise. And behold what? Are you with me? After the noise, what was the next thing we see? A shaking. Show me the slide again. Order of the restoration. The next thing after the noise. The next thing after the noise was what? A shaking. Number three. Please, the person on the system should follow us. If you are listening, you understand where we are. The next thing after the noise was what? A shaking. A shaking. What was this shaking? After these Zionist people did all they did, and majority of them still remained where they were blessed and making money. God changed his pattern because Israel must come home. Why must Israel come home? God deals with Israel as a nation. You and I, we did not give our life to Christ together. He did not come to us as, this is Yoruba nation, this is Igbo nation. It is individuals he is looking for among the Gentiles. But for Israel, they must be in their homeland if they will prosper spiritually. He deals with them collectively as a nation.
So if God is going to start their revival, he must bring them back to their land. And see these people saying, I'm already blessed in Europe. I'm blessed in Germany and America. I'm not going back home. The Zionist movement did all they could do. Majority of them remained there. Something happened. God changed the pattern. There was now what? A shaking. Jeremiah 16:16. After he sends for fishers, fishers will use a bait, a fisherman. But a hunter is what? His point and kill. God changed it. Behold, I will send for many fishers, and they shall fish them. After I have sent for fishers, I will do what? I will send for many hunters. Who are these hunters that caused a shaking? That is what is known in history as the Holocaust. If you know your history, that is what they call the Holocaust. Just before World War II, or during World War II, a son of Satan called Adolf Hitler rose up in Germany. It is this revelation that makes some people say that Adolf Hitler is a servant of God. Why is he a servant of God? Because God used him to deal with his people. When you say servant of God, it's not just that God will use you to bless people. Satan himself is also a servant of God. So the boast and our pride is not, I am a servant of God. You are a servant of God is not automatic license to heaven. It means that God is using you for a particular service. Somebody that cleans the church will say he's a servant of God. Yes. And the same person on the and a pastor on the pulpit preaching will also say servant of God. God has many services and he requires many servants. Adolf Hitler was one of his servants. When these Jews were not going to live wherever they are, God sent forth a wicked satanic person. And he started dealing with them in Europe, gathering them. Only God knows the kind of spirits that came upon the man called Adolf Hitler. And they were so envious and jealous of the Jews. And saw them as an inferior race. It was out of envy. And started persecuting them. Started persecuting them. Gathering them in their numbers just to exterminate. Just to exterminate them. And history records that about 6 million Jews were killed by Adolf Hitler. Can you see the shaking? We have some pictures that showed what they went through. They will put them in what is called concentration camps, where they will not feed them, where they will torture them and kill them. Put them in gas chambers where they will gas out their lives. This was what the Jews went through. Between 1941 and 1945, see how lean somebody is. This is a malnourished person. We have more pictures. Show them the pictures, please. This is what the Jews went through. Can we see the other pictures? There are about 3 or 4 pictures. This is what they went through. See them. Put them together like sardine. Pack them together like corned beef. And they were killing them. That was the shaking. God sent fishers. You people say you will not be fished, Abi. And let me tell you, before this thing started, the Jews were excelling, succeeding in Europe. They held the money of Europe in their hands. And they started persecuting them, torturing them, killing them, just wasting them. That was what? The shaking. When you are seeing my brethren being killed, what will happen? I will remain, Abi. When God was begging you, come. You are not coming. Then what did he do? He stopped fishing and he sent a hunter with pump action. Pah! Will you wait there? Nobody told them anything before they started running. And it was after the Holocaust that a great majority of the Jews were able to go back to the land of Palestine. In fact, the whole world became sympathetic with them and said, no, what can we do for these people? And then the only resolution that could comfort us, let's send them to their homeland, Palestine. That was what happened. They went there, fought battles with the Arabs, until they came up and declared their independence, declared themselves a nation. So from AD 70 till 1948, there was nothing called the nation of Israel. That's the dry bones. They were dry, dead. Yet, God's people, and they were alive wherever they were. But they could not call, there was nothing. There was no homeland for the Jewish people. There was nothing called the nation of Israel. Before there could be a nation of Israel, God sent forth fishers, a noise. Sent forth hunters, a shaking that shook around the world. World War II affected the whole world. Over 6 million of the Jews died. Before you know, everybody ran. After the shaking, what do we see? Order of the restoration. Let's see the next item, please. After the shaking, there was the next thing. No, the order of the restoration before we read the scripture. After the shaking, what happened next? The shaking is the Holocaust. That's right. Number four. After the shaking, the next thing we see is what? The formation of the body. Now, go back to Ezekiel 37, verse 7 and 8. Ezekiel 37, verse 7 and 8. Please just follow this history so that we'll see where we're coming. So, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And what happened? Oh, you're not saying it. The bones came together, bone to his bone. Verse 8. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them. But what happened? There was no breath in them. Let's leave it there. The formation of the body after the noise is the formation of the nation of Israel. So when they returned to their homeland, the Arabs that were occupying their territory, what are these people doing there? Do you know that the second most holy site in Islam is in Palestine? They believe that was where Muhammad ascended to heaven. The Dome of the Rock is in Palestine, Jerusalem. Where God built his temple, that is where another mosque was erected because his people were swept out of the land. So, after the Holocaust, when they went back to their homeland, May 14, 1948, Israel declared independence from the Jewish and from the British, let's say colonialism, and declared themselves a nation again. So for a long time, there was no nation of Israel, but on May 14, 1948, the flag of Israel, known as the Star of David, was flown again, was hoisted again, and Israel became a nation. That was the coming together of the bones to bones, the flesh covering the bones. The body was formed. That is where we are today. From 1948, May, there is a program that is done in Israel. It's called Aliyah. A-L-I-Y-A-H. What's the meaning? It means going up. So they keep telling the Jews that remain around the world, come home, come home. If you are a Jew and you get to Israel today, you are automatically established. You are not going to start hustling or start beginning as, no, you are automatically established. And as each year passes, their population is increasing. So that is what is going on today. That nation is being formed. But if you read verse 8, can you see the flag? The flag is hoisted today. The formation of the body. That is the flag of Israel. From AD 70 to 1948, there was nothing like this. But on May 14, 1948, this flag was hoisted. Now, Ezekiel 37, verse 8. We are doing Bible study. I want you to observe something. Verse 8, Ezekiel 37. He says, I beheld the sinews and the flesh came up upon them. The skin did what? Covered them. But what happened? There was no breath in them. The body is formed, but if there is no breath, will there be life? What's the meaning of that? That is their present condition. The breath is their reviver. The breath of life is the Holy Ghost, their reviver that they are expecting. But I want you to notice There will be no breath in that body until you and I go. What is that breath? On the day of Pentecost, suddenly there was a mighty rushing wind. Are you seeing what the breath is? That is the Jewish revival. They are expecting the revival. That's what will give them the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But breath will not enter into that body that is formed until you and I go in the rapture. So, yes, presently, the body is still in the process of being formed. The body is still in the process of being formed. Once the body is formed, it is a timetable to us, a clock to us, an alarm to us. Once the body is completely formed, we go so that the breath of life that you and I have received, when we receive the Holy Ghost, so that same breath can go and enter into them. Are we together? Romans chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. What does it say? Listen, no, please. If you are in this church and you are not familiar with this particular scripture I'm reading, then you have not been following Bible study in Bride Assembly. Romans 11, verse 25. It says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this." Are we together? This what? Mystery. "Lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in parts is happened to Israel." Until when? Let me rephrase that statement. That the breath of life will not enter into Israel. Until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles coming. So when the rapture will take place, it has been divinely ordered. There will be no additional time when the rapture is to strike. This is the pointer for the rapture. Only God knows when. Don't get me wrong. But when the fullness of the Gentiles coming, when those who God by his foreknowledge knew that we receive the salvation, when they are complete, maybe it's only three people that is remaining. Evangelists. Once number one enter, number two enter, number three enter, and God says that all the Gentiles that I wrote their name in the book of life, they have come in. God is no more wasting time. He has invested what he needs. What next? He takes them up so that the breath of life can go to Israel. Are you understanding the divine agenda? This is where we are at this point of time. Praise the living God. The body is being formed. The population of Israel today is up to 14 million. It keeps increasing. It keeps increasing. When the body is formed, at the same time, God is doing something with the Gentiles. While the nation is being formed, God is rounding up with the Gentiles. God is rounding up with you and I. Brethren, salvation will not be with us for forever. Praise God. The time is coming and is very near where the Holy Ghost will be withdrawn from the Gentiles. And those that are already filled with the Holy Ghost will go secretly in the rapture. And then that Holy Ghost, which is eternal life, will be given back to the Jews. I'm not saying church going will not continue. Church going will continue. Because contrary to what is popularly taught in Christendom, the rapture is not going to be a big show. It is a secret catchaway. It is secret. I can imagine. In fact, it will be on a Sunday. Prophet, look where we inquire which day that God said will be the rapture. I can tell you from my prophetic eyes that it will be a Sunday. And then people that come late to church, they will miss it. Don't be in church by 9 a.m. that day when we're supposed to have service. You enter, and some people will still be at the altar playing for you. Brother Ubong, will you be here that day playing for the people that will miss it? Some people will still be here telling you, "Welcome, sit down." You see people to see. I don't know about you, but me, I hope not to be here that day. I'll be watching you from heaven. Praise the living God. So the body is being formed. And God, at the same time, simultaneously is rounding up his program with us. Give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. It will soon end. It is not a message that is to be forever. God has a limit to his mercy. He has a limit to the period of grace. Once the time is up, he told Abraham that the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. That means God even measures sin. When the time is up, God runs up in you and I, raptures us. That breath of life goes back to Israel. Are we together? Let's see the order of the restoration again. So from May 14, 1948, the body is still in the process of formation. The order of restoration, our slide, can we have it again, please? So the next thing we see, verse number 5, the next thing we see is what? The breath of life. And that is what we usually teach in this church as the Jewish revival. See Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 9 to 10. Let's read that scripture. Ezekiel 37, verse 9 to 10. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, O son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come for the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet. What? An exceeding great army. The breath will come into them after the rapture through the ministry of Moses and Elijah. Revelation chapter 10, verse 8 to 11. What we call the Jewish revival. The breath will come upon them. He said, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said, give me the little book. What is the little book? You will see it. You see that it's that prophecy. He said, eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Verse 10. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. As soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again. What we've treated this in the book of Revelations. But the fulfillment of this scripture is what you see in chapter 11 from verse 3. After the rapture, God sends two men with the anointing of Moses and Elijah. And through these two men, God gives Israel back the gospel. Their eyes are opened. They receive Jesus. They believe him. They are baptized in his name. And they receive the same Holy Ghost we are receiving. I will give power unto my two witnesses. And they will do what? They will prophesy 1,203 score days, clothed in sackcloth. Verse 4. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. You can read on and on. Praise the Lord. It is through this ministry of Moses and Elijah after the rapture that the breath of life will go back to Israel. Then that army can stand. Are we together? Then that army can stand. So how is Israel restored? Let's see it again. Firstly, the prophecy goes forth, order of restoration. Order of restoration, our slide please. Firstly, the prophecy goes forth, that's number one. Number two, after the prophecy goes forth, there was a noise. IT, our slide please. After the prophecy goes forth, there was what? A noise. That was the Zionist movement from 1896 to 1936, thereabouts. After the noise, still for them to come back to their homeland, there was a shaking, which is known in history as the Holocaust, where many of them were killed. Then they were compelled to go back to their homeland. After the Holocaust, what happens? Now, from 1948 to now, the body is still being formed. The nation is forming. The sinews and the flesh are covering it up. The bones are joining one to another. Israel is becoming mightier and mightier. Today, you cannot talk about technology and agriculture. If you mention three nations, Israel must be there for you to see how they are becoming a mighty nation. After the formation of the body, before breath we enter into them, God runs up with the Gentiles so that the same breath of life that you and I have been breathing, when we have gone to God's abode, he can now send the breath of life to them. Praise the living God. Are we together? That is the order. But between number 4 and number 5, two things will happen. Let me see who is a good Bible student in this church. Because all these things I'm saying are things you have taught severally before. Between number 4 and number 5, two things will happen. I've mentioned one. another thing will happen. Before that one that I mentioned, another thing will happen. Anybody? Between number 4 and number 5. Hang the order, please. Between number 4 and number 5, two things will happen. You can try. It's a class. Don't worry, if you fail this one, it does not mean you will fail going to heaven. So just try. I've mentioned one.
There will be a war.
God bless you. Church, put your hands together for this brother. You are following in the spirit. I said rapture. But before the rapture, there's Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. The war of Gog and Magog. There will be a war. And that is what you see in Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39. The description of that war. We will see that war before the rapture. So when Ukraine and Russia started, that's not our concern. We have our compass and our map. We are not shaken by anything we hear. COVID-19, rapture or rapture. No, we know more. We know better than that. Ukraine and Russia, rapture or rapture. No. The Bible did not say we should watch Russia. Neither did it say we should watch Ukraine. Where did the Bible say we should watch? Israel. You want to know what time of the day it is? You look at your watch or the clock. You want to know what time we are in God's program and agenda for mankind? Watch Israel. Israel is God's timepiece for salvation. Praise the living God. Israel is God's clock to us for his program. So there will be a war in Ezekiel 38 and 39. That war is one of the events before the rapture. By the time you are hearing of that war, start packing up. Start selling all your lands and give the money to your loved ones that will not go in the rapture. Sell all your car. Just tell them you are going for a retreat. You will not be coming soon. So that they will not bother to look for you when they did not see you. Tell them your password. Give them your ATM. Oh, just say, Brother Sonny, not you, because we'll go together. Brother Sonny, take my ATM. This is the password. I'm going somewhere. So that if you don't see me for a while, you will know that you just use it. I just feel like blessing you. All your clothes, give them out. Just be ready. Because as soon as that war comes to an end, chop, 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 pew, we are going home. So there'll be a war. After the war, the secret catch away of the Gentile bride. So when the breath of life, the same breath that entered us is what will power us, take us to heaven. When we are there, then that breath that descended on the day of Pentecost will go back to the Jews and enter into them. That is the order for the restoration. So you can see where we are in God's program. As a Christian, your emphasis now should be how you can be sure. Be sure. I'm not teaching you this so that you have head knowledge. Be sure you have the Holy Ghost. And know what God is doing. Recognize your day and the message of your day. Before we round up, look at Ezekiel 36, verse 24. From verse 22. We usually teach this scripture when we teach the process of salvation. But that is a secondary application. It is firstly related to Israel. Ezekiel 36 from verse 22. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen. Where those bones were dried, the valley is where the heathen are, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Now, look at from verse 24. For what? I will take you from among the Gentiles. Before he will revive them and give them the Holy Ghost, what will he do? I will take you from among the Gentiles and gather you out of all countries, the valley of dry bones, and I will bring you into your own land, the formation of that body. Verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, the word of God, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Next verse. And a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Now, after he has done this, what will he do? The breath of life. I will do what? I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land. Oh, that land that you were cast out of. He said, you will dwell in that land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your
God. Are we seeing it? So God brings them out firstly with a noise. After the noise, there was a shaking. After the shaking, the bones came together. The body is formed. Up to now, the body is still being formed. When the body is done being formed, what will happen? The breath of life enters into them. This is how God will restore Israel in the last day. And we are at the closing time of number four. Item four. Show it. Item four is rounding up. When you go to an event, an organized event, programs are given to you. Item one, opening prayer. Item two, welcome address. Item three, this and that. Item four, this and that. Item five, this and that. Many people like item six. And many of us like item six. Refreshment, Abi. Many people like that. That's what many people look for. Oh, why they not bring item six, come item two? That is how people do it in the program. But we are in our own program. We are in item four and it is coming to an end. You are already looking at your program. What next? Because you see that item four is rounding up. Okay, what next? If it's a wedding, after this stage, the couple is supposed to come and dance together. Okay, item four, the body is being formed. What next? The breath of life. Ah, before the breath of life will enter into them, the bride must go. So what is that telling us? Ah, we are at the period. We are at the time where one day something will happen that will not be popularly known to the world, that the news station will not cover. Something will happen that only people that were supposed to be there and were not there will know, because they're the ones that will sing, oh no, had I known. Something will happen and then we'll be removed from the surface of the earth so that item five in God's agenda can start. Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? Can you answer? I will be ready. Are you sure? Are you sure you'll be ready? Okay. Briefly, any question? Mommy has a question. Please, let's be fast. Mommy has a question. Okay, mommy lifted up her hand before Brother Tony. Please, let's be fast. Let's be fast.
Thank you for this teaching. Because of this time, I was really imagining that the dry bones were some dead nationals of the Israelites. I have like two questions to ask.
Okay, ma, please, briefly, ma.
Number one, sir, I did not really get the name of the person that headed the Zionist movement.
Theodor Herzl. Theodor. Herzl. Herzl. But to make it easy, mommy, you can just Google Zionist movement. And Ifa will answer you. Okay. Doraku will answer you.
Okay, sir.
Amen. Second question, ma.
The second question, you say that we are now at the fourth order.
Yes, ma'am.
And you mentioned that at this level, salvation will end. Is it for the Gentiles and for the Israelites?
No. It has to end for the Gentiles so that it can go to the Israelites. That's what we are saying. It has to end for us so that the same gospel they rejected, God could give them a second chance. That's just it. And before it goes back to them, that's why we read Romans 11, verse 25 and 26. Okay, we did not read verse 26. Verse 25 and 26, Romans 11, let's take it again. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel. Until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be coming. Verse 26 now. After the fullness of Gentiles coming, what will happen? And so all Israel shall be saved. So it is after all the Gentiles are in that God will turn to Israel.
Sir, there's something I keep on imagining. And you said it. You gave the answer this morning. but I do not really get it.
Okay.
Our salvation is from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So, but some people along the line, they've gotten the salvation, they are Holy Ghost filled. Can a child of God, a Christian, lose the Holy Spirit?
If you understand what salvation is, you understand that salvation cannot be lost. People that fight the doctrine of eternal security, their foundational problem is an improper understanding of the meaning of salvation. Are we together? If you to understand it is not a 2-minute explanation, it's a teaching. If you understand what salvation itself is, you will know that it cannot be lost. Can you be? It cannot be lost. Just as, let me use this analogy. Just as your child, mommy, cannot stop being your child, even if disowned by you. Even if disowned by you. Why? Because he was formed by your chromosomes. You produced his DNA. That act cannot be reversed. You cannot go to any laboratory and cancel it and say, go back to mommy, go back to daddy. It is something that is done and can never be reversed. Just like a man that grows up cannot start, you cannot decrease in age and start decreasing and go down to become a baby. So if that is not possible, then salvation cannot be lost. Because the same way you are born naturally, it's the same way you are born spiritually if you are saved.
Okay, sir. So does it mean that everyone that has salvation?
Now, still answering your question. Now, some of us think that we are saved when we are not. That's why you are using the language of, can somebody lose it? He has received the Holy Ghost and he lost it. No. That you are already born. Mommy, can you, I don't even know how to put it. You cannot become a 20 years old CCA again. You can't go back to that age. You can't go back to that age. So I think that is how salvation is. It can't be reversed. Now, a child of God can sin against his father, just as your children sin against you. That is why there's the rod of correction. There's the rod of correction. God can break your legs out of disobedience to him. He can even kill you. But you are saved. You will be with him. You can also lose your rewards. Just like you say, Junior, do this thing, and he didn't do it. Okay, mommy will not buy for you that ice cream again. I will not take you to the shopping mall again. He has lost something that should be his because he sinned against you. It is a father-child relationship when you are saved. So it cannot be reversed.
And lastly, sir, meaning that anyone that is saved will be raptured.
Everyone that is saved will be raptured. Thank you, ma'am. Pastor Smart will add something to this. Part. Okay. Oh, sorry about that. Okay, he's agreeing with what I'm saying. Amen. Okay, Brother Tony, briefly, please.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, my pastor. I want to find out something. Between the points 4 and 5, as you mentioned, you said there will be war. I want to know, where would the war start from?
The war concerns Israel.
Okay,
let me answer your question. Read Ezekiel 38 and 39. That is the war. Okay. It is stated there.
One more question, please.
Yes, sir.
I see Romans chapter 11, verse 26. It said that all Israel shall be saved. And something strikes my mind. We do not go through the trials or the process by which we attend to salvation. Wouldn't they go through such, process,
you mean,
or will all of them be just be saved because of they are from Israel?
You mean will they repent, be baptized in Jesus' name? Yes, they'll go through that to come under the blood.
Thank you very much.
They'll go through that. They will, I believe it. They will be baptized in the name of Jesus and they will receive the same Holy Ghost that we are receiving. They'll go through the same process.
Thank you very much.
God bless you, sir. Okay, Brother Paul. Finally, Brother Paul, please, other questions. Tomorrow night by 7 p.m., please. Our time is fast spent. Brother Paul, you've passed Brother Paul. See Brother Paul. He lifted up his hand before Brother Hillary. Brother Paul, coordinator, see Brother Paul. Well, Larry, sorry, you ask your question later. He lifted up his hand.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sorry, sir, there is something I want to ask. When you read 2 Kings 17, now you say the Israelites, they were all scattered.
Yes, sir.
They were all scattered. Now, I found out something there that I stand to be corrected. That when we trace it, we look at the trace. Now, I found out that this situation started from the time of Solomon until that particular time when the kingdom was divided. Yes. Now, I found out that 10 was given to Jeroboam and one was given to two, because we have Judah and Benjamin was given to them.
Jeroboam.
Now, when we look at that, I found out that the 10 was what the Bible was talking in there that was scattered, because we were left with
two.
Yes. Judah. Yes. And I also believe that these two were the people, based on God's agenda, that came up in the New Testament.
Of course, I said something that if you go to chapter 25, Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar came, and the remaining two were also taken into captivity. They spent 7 years in the Babylonian captivity. They came back, and they were the ones alive in the days of Jesus. I said that earlier. They were the ones alive. Then in AD 70, those two that came back, they were scattered again. But the 10 that left in 2 Kings 17, they didn't come back until 1948. Exactly.
I want to get this, sir. The prophecy of Ezekiel, I don't know, are you correlating it with what will happen in our present coming time?
Of course, that is what we are teaching.
Okay, sir.
That is what we are teaching. The nation is coming back. That's the purpose. It's not what will happen. Up to item 4 has been fulfilled. We are waiting for item 5. Item 4 is being rounded off now. See it. 1986, is it not last 2 centuries? 1941, last century. From 1941 to now, 1948 to now, the body is being formed. Body is being formed. We are still in the process. So it's happening right before our eyes. That is why we brought it out. Don't think that rapture has not taken place as if God forgot. No. There are things you watch out for. Salvation is God's program and agenda. And one of the best things he could do for you is to cause you to know this agenda so that you will know the stand to take. Many of us come to church because we don't know what is going on. That is why you are here today. You are there tomorrow. You are following prophets. You are following prophetess. Prophet will go and open church. You are running after it. If you know the meaning of salvation and church, when you come to a place like this, a teaching ministry, you stay putted so that you'll be anchored. The Lord bless us. Can we be on our feet? Nations are breaking. Israel's awaking. The signs that the prophets foretold. Is a hymn. Can we sing it? The Gentile days not bad.
With horrors and combat. Eternity soon will unfold. Hallelujah. The day of redemption. His name. Men's hearts. Men's hearts are feeling. For fear. Be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. The love stream and bless.
Put your hands together for our great God. Thank you very much, Pastor Olumide. And again, the stanzas we just sang now, it says that men's hearts are failing for fear. Not also our hearts, we are not moved at all, because we are... Hallelujah. Our heart is so strong because we know where our stand is. Hallelujah. If you know where you are, stay put, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. When he talks about men's heart being afraid, it's the word, not us, because we are established in the present truth. Hallelujah. God bless you. That is a powerful exposition of his words.